Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Lisbeth Holtman, who is the author of The Power of the Voice, and she is joining us from Denmark. I don't believe I've ever had any guests from Denmark. I've had a lot from all over the world, but not from Denmark, so we're very pleased to have her on today. Lisbeth is involved in spiritual matters. She was raised in a family with spiritual orientation, and then she became a singer and I think a voice coach that looked for deeper meaning within the voice, which of course is there, and a lot of the things that are in the voice are probably at the level of the subconscious. And she's brought these more into the conscious realm and is going to tell us about them today. Welcome, Lisbeth. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, and I'm so pleased to speak to you. Very happy to be here and have this possibility, so thank you very much.
You're welcome. You want to tell the audience a little bit about your background and how you came to write the book?
Yes, as you also introduced me, I grew up with a spiritual background. My parents were very interested in and inspired by the Danish thinker. I don't know if you know him over there. His name is Martinus, and from I was very little, I was only hearing all the spiritual stuff around me. And later on, when I was at my singing career, I looked for this deeper meaning, and I searched for the authenticity in the voice very early, even before I were able to say what it was about. I had this intuition that I was going to do something else about the voice, or to use my voice in a different way. So I broke several times with the professional musical learning, and I sang very early before speaking. I was singing in the Danish radio and the opera of Jutland, but I felt, however, a desire to experience more, and therefore I broke and trying to find my own way. And I think the voice was my way of going into myself to find, as you also said, the subconscious level of the voice and myself. And through that journey, I think I did what I didn't know was going on at that level, at that time. But it became a success very, very much, because I got people with me, and it was a kind of adventure, I think, to hear people that are not used to use their voice. Just everyone could use their voice here, and we could together go into something which is much more deeper and authentic and very beautiful in sound. So, yes, that's something about me. And then I worked on, and it has carried me along the way until now. So today I'm teaching and doing performances and doing voice readings. A lot of my voice readings has come to lead me to the book, I think, because that's where the material for me is, in doing these one-to-one voice readings, when I get to know a lot about the voice and the person, and to see how people are freeing themselves. They go more quickly through things and blockages in their lives. They have more joy, and it goes very quickly compared to a lot of verbal therapy. I think it goes very quickly with sound. Of course, we also use the words, but it's quite quickly it goes with the sound.
Mm-hmm. Well, I discovered something of what you're writing in your book. That's why I found it fascinating. In my own life, I was doing a TV show called Your Health Today, and I was good at the TV show, but I was actually sending energy through more the third eye and out, not so much through my voice, but through my, I guess, chakra system. Mm-hmm. And then I was asked to do a radio show, and I did both the TV show and the radio show.
Yeah.
I started doing as favors for friends. It wasn't that I really wanted to do TV or radio. But I started doing the radio show, and I realized very early in doing it that I did not have the energy coming through my voice at all. It was not, it wasn't effective. I wasn't effective on radio because I couldn't get the energy through my voice. So I went to a friend of mine who did NLP, and through NLP, just in about 2 minutes, mm-hmm. he was able to get me to change how I brought the energy through. So I was able to develop a new skill, which was to bring energy through the voice.
Wow.
And then I realized that, you know, you really can communicate through the voice. I mean, obviously mm-hmm. radio does, song does, you know, everything. But that you have to have a certain quality of being able to transmit energy through the throat chakra rather than the brow chakra.
Right, right. I think you are sending a lot of signals with the voice, and you can just lock and unlock the voice. And it goes very quickly when you focus on it in the right way. And I think we all have this ability. I think everybody has abilities to catch up what is going on in the voice, and mm-hmm. we do it unconsciously, I think. We know it, and we know also when it's there, and we are getting up in our chairs, we are standing up, mm-hmm. we are enlightened by a voice, and we are maybe the opposite with a voice.
And wanting to leave the room.
It's like in the Bible, you know, where it is said that, you know, you can go through walls with the voice. You can create and you can destroy with it. So, of course, it's a very powerful instrument. And I think when in my experience with people, I always have this... I get so happy to see how people are freeing their voice, and it's much more big, and it's with all these mm-hmm. colors in the voice, freeing their voice. And I think it's really a healing tool.
I wanted to mention to you something I'm not sure if you've seen, but I think mm-hmm. you would be absolutely thralled by it. Greg Braden, by accident, discovered this. Have you seen Greg's video where the three Qigong masters do a chant and a bladder tumor disappears in about 2 minutes?
You know, one of my dearest friends, a girlfriend who actually has cancer, she just mentioned that to me 2 or 3 days ago. I know Greg Braden, but I haven't seen this video. I would like to see it, yes.
Well,
that's,
Greg...
That's with chanting.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you the story. Greg was doing a video production of probably one of his many DVDs, and he walked over to another room and saw this video. And it was from a hospital in China. The hospital no longer exists, but at the time, the hospital was just using energy medicine. Qigong masters, there were three of them, and they had a ultrasound probe on the tumor, and the tumor was, you know, I don't remember exactly, maybe 3 centimeters or something like that. And then the Qigong masters did a chant, and the meaning of the chant was essentially equivalent, probably in Chinese, to already gone, already gone, already gone. So in other words, they're putting forth what they want to create, the tumor being gone, and doing that through sound, And then you see the tumor shrinking on the ultrasound, and then it goes away. It's just incredible.
It sounds fantastic, what you're telling me.
Yeah.
I have to see that.
And just as a side note, have your friend email me, you know, at drkolb at mindspring.com or through Nicole. You have her email. Because I have something I need to tell her, okay? I can't really say it over the radio, but I have something to share with her.
I will do that, definitely, yes. Thank you very much. I will do that.
You're welcome.
But I'm fascinated about that when you combine your thoughts and you can visualize, for example, that you are not, you are free, you are healthy, and you put all the colors into it. When the thought is combined with sound, it's so, so strong. I believe that's what you're telling about this situation.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is a video demonstration of it. And the woman had no particular qualities other than a very strong desire to get the tumor to go away. I mean, it wasn't that she was a master or anything. The Qigong masters were masters, obviously. They you know, Qigong is a very powerful way to heal cancer. I mean, there's plenty of stories about Qigong.
Qigong is very powerful.
Especially if the cancer patient does Qigong, about having good outcomes. But certainly this was a great demonstration, and I'm sure, you know, in the hospital they were doing it for all sorts of things. This was just one thing that was, you know, was videotaped.
And it's a special hospital that's allowing these things? They are working in the spiritual direction?
Yeah, but Greg told me they don't exist anymore. I don't know what happened to them. But,
know,
the hospital is not evidently, or to my knowledge, no longer in existence, according to Greg. But certainly, you know, I think in the future we'll have hospitals like this in the U.S.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to be a part of them. I think that
is
something that we need to create here.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the voice and personality. I wanted to start out by asking you a question. Mm-hmm. Is it possible when somebody is trained in a voice analysis, like you've trained yourself because you've kind of developed this yourself, is it possible to tell if somebody is lying or telling the truth? Are there qualities that occur?
Yeah, that's what I have been quite occupied with. I think so. I think because you can train the voice, and a lot of people, you know, professionals, speakers in the television, radio, you know, they are trained in a professional way, and you know, a lot of politicians are doing that. They learn to close the sentence so no one can come inside, and and we are learning something. But I don't think it is going to. It's not all the way. You can't keep it, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because some of the subconscious is kind of revealing you. So I don't. I believe that you can. You will have some signs that this is not true, or this is true, and you can have them in the way I described the voice pattern, the energy pattern of the voice, the many different signs in the voice. Is it going up? Is it bada di 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 di? Is it falling down? No, I don't. I really think it's good. You know, we are sending one signal with the words, and the voice is doing something else.
Yeah.
Or you can
but
have
we can't
some
control it completely. Yeah.
No, I don't believe we can't.
Right.
We can do a lot, but I think for a trained ear, you can hear it.
I wanted to mention one thing before we get into the different types of personalities and voice that are in the book. You made mention of one thing that I have an example of. I know of an actor who was in a TV series, and he was a closeted homosexual. This was in the 80s, okay? So okay. it wasn't okay to come out in the early 80s. So he had a very, very, very deep voice. And I loved it when you said that someone could have a male could have a very deep voice covering up his femininity.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
Because he did. I mean, it was a really good example of it.
I have seen or heard a lot of examples of that. I have.
Yeah.
And when they begin to go into the voice work with more authenticity, they find out mm-hmm. that the voice is creeping up.
Right, and really
freeing itself. So I think it can be, I won't say it always is, but it can be a suggestion, yes, that mm-hmm. He's covering up the feminine side of him. And of course...
Well, he definitely was.
Yeah. And if you're then working with the voice, if you are ready for that work, of course, all the other stuff is coming up, and the rest mm-hmm. of the personality is going with it. So the voice can be a kind of channel to that deeper work with your personality.
Right.
And that's beauty in it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, in your book you have a section saying your voice is your calling card.
Yes.
Would you like to comment on that?
Yes, I think it's. I found that it was a good example to call it the calling card, like it's a mm-hmm. fingerprint. I have heard that criminology you use mm-hmm. the voice,
right?
And it's quite as good as a fingerprint. I have heard. And
it's actually felt to be better than the lie detector test, the voice stress analysis. It's
really?
Called the VSA. Yeah, we use it here in the U.S. The lie detector test is based on skin changes. You know, they have the pads
okay.
with skin changes. So
mm-hmm.
you sweat and you also your heart rate increases. If you're not a sociopath, not too much change occurs, and therefore many sociopaths pass lie detector tests. Now, voice stress analysis
uh-huh.
is a totally different mechanism.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
so you might want to look that up. Yeah.
Also because sociopaths are so difficult to catch in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But that's very interesting. I think the voice is much more... you know, the voice is connected with our breathing, and our breathing is all the time a reflection of the now. So
right.
I think it's very, of course, all in our body is also a reflection of the now, but it's very much alive. It's going very quickly, you know, breathing in and breathing out all the time. So it's... you can have a clear picture of what's going on just listening to the breathing, for example.
Yeah, that's true.
And the lie detector, that's interesting if they do it through the voice. Of course, the USA is much more... I live in a very small country here in Denmark,
mm-hmm.
and in my lectures I have, in the audience, there have been people coming up and telling me that combining this work with police work? And could you do something
mm-hmm.
there and so on? Yes. That's
well, I think we can. Yeah, I think we
yeah.
can. And I think that there, I mean, I don't know a lot about the history of voice stress analysis, but they analyze the voice print during the
mm-hmm.
conversation and to determine. Well, first of all, you know, it's like a lie detector test. You ask people certain questions where you know they're telling the truth, and then other questions where you know they're lying
mm-hmm.
because you ask them to lie. You know, you're asking them to lie. And then then questions you don't know the answer to and see
yeah.
what pattern comes out. That's pretty much what's happening.
It's like kinesiologist. Kinesiology. Kinesiology. That's right. My English is not so perfect, but that's the same way you get
it right.
That's
very good.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we actually use a lot of kinesiology here in the clinic. You know, we do kinesiology to determine which antifungals to use when the women have infected breast implants, you know, with mold in them, and what if they have infection with bacteria, which antibiotics to use. And then we get the cultures back, and we determine if we're right, which is interesting, too.
Wow, that's
it's
interesting.
It's actually very good, usually. I mean, 90% of the time we get the right drug.
Oh, it would be nice to combine these things with the voice and the breathing and see how that fits in. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Really.
Well,
yes,
you have different voices that you identify that you, I guess, correlate to certain personalities. Would you like to talk about some of those?
Yes, I would like to talk about everything in the book. So, yes, I have listed up 20 types of voice, 20 voice types. And, of course, there are much more than 20. It's more to describe so you have something to listen to, so you have some of the general one, the general types. And I have given them names, the wolf, for example, the optimist and the pessimist. I don't want to take all of them, but hanging by a thread, the silent voice, the waterfall, the little girl, the control freak, the mumbler, the trombone, the poor me, the beggar, the seducer, and the throat clearer. Mm-hmm. So what I try to describe there is that I try to listen to the voice and... before I wrote this, I asked myself, what is a voice? What does a voice consist of? And then I thought, yes, the first one that came to me was the breathing. That based on the breathing, you can have a lot of things to say about a voice. For example, the waterfall is based on the breathing that is unbalanced, you could say, so to speak, when you have too much going out and a very little going in. Mm-hmm. So you are going to, when you talk or speak like a waterfall, you stress your voice and your whole system. Because you talk, and you would just take a little breath in and if you continue that, you will have the same situation as if you are stressed, where the deep and good and well breathing down beneath the navel, where it is best situated, it's creeping very slowly up and up and up and up, and it's tensioning the whole body and the neck and the throat. The waterfall will have problems because there's no room, there's no resonance room. That's the muscles are tense, and it's exactly the same situation like in stress when you are stressed and you know at last break down. So that's, for example, one of them. Then I also have. For example, the wolf, that's not so much the breathing. It's more which signs of energy is there, and that's kind of your pushing. I'm over-exaggerating it because then it's more clear. So you're talking like this, also when it's slow, you do this. It's also the same thing you're doing, you're pushing with your voice, and a lot of energy in the pushing, but also maybe a kind of pushing away people. So the
waterfall, you liken that to the person who's giving and giving and giving but can't receive, is that correct?
The wolf, you
or
mean?
That, No, the waterfall.
Yeah, in some ways, much more the waterfall, I think, is the giving or giving away or losing energy, could you also say, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And
then the wolf is more taking energy, is that right?
You could
or
say
forcing
that.
Forcing themselves on others.
Pushing
more.
Pushing,
yeah.
Pushing, attacking, in fact.
Attacking,
maybe to
okay.
to protect oneself could be.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different kinds of voice patterns that hangs in the voice, roles you are playing, and mm-hmm. patterns that you may be not conscious about, but want to be free of. So the work is also very deep with the voice when you go into these patterns and examine them and go down and find out where they were from and just release them, doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very interesting.
So if somebody comes to you and say they have a wolf pattern, and you train them with the coaching to, you know, to release that and have a more natural voice, do they mm-hmm. tell you that their lives change because of that? And do they notice changes?
Yes, right, they do. For example, a wolf could come to me and say, "Yes, I have to work with this," and my colleagues say that so and so, and they think I'm angry, but I'm not angry. But if she or her, if she or he is ready for working with that, I have seen a lot of changes also around in their lives. Not only in the voice, when they get it and train the voice to sound in another more soft way, they use the, mm-hmm. in speaking and in sounding, humming and singing, they have very much changes all over their lives. Maybe they shift their partner, maybe they do another job, maybe they are mm-hmm. finding some creativity they had hidden for years or something. A lot of changes are really going on. So it's a process, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Would you mind giving some of your contact information? We'll do it again at the end, but I'd like you to give some of your contact information now in case anybody listening would like to, you know, contact you for, because I assume you can do this long over the phone. I mean,
over
isn't that
phone,
correct?
Yes.
Shall
we do it now?
Yeah, we'll do it again at the end, but, you know, in case people can't stay the whole hour.
Yeah, I have a new website that they can, if people want to contact me, I think it's best through the website, which is www, and then it's vocsmondo.dk. It's called Vox Mondo, and that's and the name of the voice of the world, or the world's mm-hmm. voice.
World's like voice. Great.
Mm-hmm. Is it all right? Super.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So yes, I have really. I have been very excited over what I've seen of changes, not only in the people's voice, but also in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
They change a lot. A lot changes.
Well,
you know,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, the major things of their lives, as I said, job, partner, children. If they have no children, they begin to plan children. If it was a blockage mm-hmm. before, they loosen up a lot of things, a lot of creativity, finding home to something lost, if I could say it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, also my education in or the voice building I'm doing here in Denmark. People they don't want to stop it. They want it to become longer because it's a process that's going on and they are changing a lot. So that's beautiful to see.
Yeah, I think that the voice, because we're using our voice throughout the day, we're communicating. A lot of jobs anyway are dependent on the voice, not just what we say, but the manner in which we say it, and the things that you were talking about: energy, intonation, the pace, how quickly things are said, emphasis. All of these things, to me, really do matter, especially in terms of relationship and in terms of job, which of course translates into money, because if you're really good at your job, you get better and better and better pay rates in most cases.
Right, anyway.
So, I mean, my job is not so, I'm a surgeon, so my job is more what I'm doing in surgery, but if I were to appear unsure of myself or dishonest, then people would not have surgery with me.
Really?
You see?
Yeah,
you do a consultation before you operate. So, in fact, I have to be careful not to oversell surgery to people, because I've always been very, very good, through the power of the voice, at sales. Starting from Girl Scout cookies, and on through my life, I could sell anything. So I have to be careful not to sell them something that they don't need or want, because, that's not honest. That's not something that you want to be doing.
I think if I can comment a little about your voice, just a little bit, because you have some very you have a lot of seriousness in your voice, I think, because you are a woman and you're allowing it to come and use your deep resonance, and that gives, and you are not speaking too quickly. You could be a good politician. So you have this power of and relaxing also, and not too quickly. I think it's very powerful, your voice, and also very soft in the same time. That's good.
Well, thank you. You have an absolutely beautiful voice. I can see why you're a singer. Yeah, it's very beautiful.
Thank you very much. Another thing I thought I forgot to say is the voice and the emotions. That is a level which I can't skip out working about. It's everywhere. The voice is so connected to our emotions. And if the emotions come up, you can't control the voice.
No.
That's why the psychopaths are so very, very good at not getting caught or not revealing themselves, because they have no empathy, and that level is not so. You can't get them with they have no emotional contact or little, very little.
Yeah.
But emotions are coming up all the time when I work.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of letting them being out the door, pushing them away, controlling them, or so, just let every emotion come up and give them sound. That's also an exercise that people can do very, very easily. Be aware of what you feel and how you and give it a sound. Release it with sound. And you gain two things. The one is that you are releasing this and transforming yourself, and the other thing is that you get aware of, I angry? Oh, I was sad? Oh, because that's very, it's very simple and very powerful, I think.
I have a funny story to tell about that. In surgery, of course, there's the anesthesiologist, your surgical tech is across from you, and your nurse is in the room circulating. And so they bring to my attention that based on what I'm feeling, I make different noises, which is
right.
Which is hilarious because I'm not always aware I'm
wonderful.
Doing it. And so I hum a lot. And you know, yeah. It's been said, and I don't know if it's true, but maybe you can comment. I hum a lot.
And
I hum because I'm happy, okay?
Yeah.
But what I'm humming is interesting because usually I'm humming If I Only Had a Brain, you know, which is a song from a movie, Wizard of Oz. But I didn't know I was doing it. I didn't realize I was doing it. And then they pointed out to me I was humming. And then, oh, my God, I'm humming If I Only Had a Brain, which is hilarious in surgery. But the other things I do in surgery are funny because I'll say things or I will, and I honestly am not aware I'm doing this, but it is reflective of my emotions. So I'm very much letting out with different sounds during surgery.
That's really nice.
Reason I'm not aware of it is I'm concentrating on what I'm doing. I have total focus on the surgical site.
That's why I'm not aware of what I'm doing. So it's a deeper, another more subconscious level that you are. Going on. Yeah.
Well, I'm letting emotions out. I think I'm doing that naturally because you don't want to hold emotions in. We're in surgery sometimes for 10 hours a day. I mean, you know, these are very long operations sometimes.
That's a really tough day to have. Yeah. That's nice to hear. So music is surrounding you and supporting you maybe also. Because I think that music can support us a lot. In it's said that during the First World War, people were singing when they were marching a long distance. They were singing, and they could keep it along. They could go along for days when they sang.
Right.
So
I think that's true.
It lifts us. And
we listen to music in surgery all the time. I think that helps us a lot. Yeah. Yeah, we do.
We could have singing hospitals.
Yes, we could.
That could be fantastic. I think it's giving so much, and I think it's going. The voice is also so directly connecting with the spiritual world, and we are much more spiritual beings than we maybe sometimes think we are. When the ego and earthly things are pushing us down, so you can't be down when you are singing. It lifts you up, I think, and it's lifting your energy pattern around the body.
One of my friends does these little sessions with groups of people where he plays his guitar and has us sing along with these really joyous songs. And the energy raises incredibly high. He's really good at this. And then he looks at people's fillings, the silver fillings that they have, and many times they'll change to gold. They might not do it permanently, but they'll change to gold, and they do. I mean, you can see the difference. They'll change to a gold color for a while anyway. And so it shows how this is called alchemy, you know, how vibration and sound can change the physical. And the question is, you know, could it be done permanently? And certainly alchemists throughout history have claimed that they could change the more base metals into, which would be silver in your filling, into gold. I'm not sure what's happening. We haven't actually done an analysis of the filling, but it's a different color for sure.
That's fascinating. And we are absolutely beginning to, we are on our baby steps on this planet to open up to these realms. I think we can do that. We can change the world with the sound and thoughts and the energy,
I interviewed people who wrote books on cymetics, you know, with Hans Jenny. You mentioned that in your book.
Yes, I mean, fascinating man.
It is. So sounds create, like if you do the sound Om, which is the universal mantra, you get something mm-hmm. called a yantra, which is the physical result of that mantra.
Okay.
It's,
the yantra.
Yantra is the physical result of a mantra, right.
Right. I didn't know that word. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is so fascinating. It's we are creating. Sound is creative. It is. Pure creation.
Very much.
Yeah.
Very much.
That's
well, I think people need to pay more attention to their voice, especially given that there are so many different ways to improve the voice. And, you know, I wish I'd had voice lessons before I started doing radio. I think it would be very helpful. I mean, I really do.
I hope to come to the U.S. To make a book tour. I hope so.
That'd be great.
Gladly give some individual sessions, voice readings, lectures, and so on. We are, in fact, planning with John Hunt Publishing, see if we can make a book tour over there.
Great. Well, if you come to Atlanta, make sure you let me know.
Yeah, I would like it. Yes, surely I will let you know. Hmm?
Yeah, Atlanta's nice because it's not too hot.
It's not too cold.
Hot.
That's beautiful.
It's a great, great weather down here. You won't get snowed out, you know, which I'm sure happens in Denmark. Yeah.
So it's more the middle, it's more comfortable, the weather.
Yeah, it's between Florida and, say, Washington, D.C., but it's on the east.
Yeah.
Well, it's inland. It's not on the coast. It's probably 5 hours inland. So.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice place. It has an international airport. I think you'd like it here.
I'm sure I would like it. I think so, really. So we'll see what's coming. Yeah. And, are there any questions more that you thought of? I think.
I just wanted to ask what you're studying now. Do you have another course of study that you're pursuing and to further deepen this work?
Yes, I have. I'm writing on another book.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very occupied with this. You know, I have maybe there are more people in the U.S. that can follow me, but that in Denmark it's a little country. But I'm very fascinated. I have this ability that I sometimes see colors when people sing, or I do it all the time. And when mm-hmm. I talk with people, I very often see colors. And I'm very occupied with combining the voice with thoughts and mm-hmm. colors. You know, mm-hmm. the thought and the voice is for me the same thing. And to write about it. As I said before or earlier in this interview, that I think when we combine, when we focus and we visualize, mm-hmm. think clearly about something, and then we give it a voice. It's very, very powerful together.
Well, I have learned a little bit about color therapy and healing. For example, if you have asthma, the color orange is very good for loosening up the airway. And then if you have cancer, you would want to avoid orange because it makes tumors grow. Green is very good for overall healing. Blue is good for pain reduction. Lavender is good for nerve healing. Red is good for anemia, but terrible. Anemia is when you have low blood count, but terrible if you're in pain. If somebody's in pain, they don't wear red, but if they're anemic, they may wear red. And these are all subconscious decisions. Yeah, and nerve injury, I've had men come in lavender shirts with nerve injuries, which is interesting. And so there's a huge amount of information about what color does in terms of healing and also in terms of sales. Like if you want to sell something, you never go in a room painted gray. Gray is associated with indecision. And so you don't want to try to sell something when you're wearing a gray suit. You want to wear a blue suit because blue is trust. And so blue is a better suit to wear. If you want to, black is mysterious, then red is impulsive, and orange is cheap. So Home Depot and Howard Johnson's and all these companies that have orange.
We use it for sale also.
They're cheap. Yeah, they're inexpensive. Yeah. And then yellow is interesting. Yellow, the only car ever to sell that was yellow was a Volkswagen. Yellow is
No,
isn't that
right.
Interesting?
Interesting.
So it's just very interesting, you know, whether you're talking about health or you're talking about just commerce. Color is incredibly powerful.
It's so it is really. I love color.
Yeah.
And it's but it's also when people sing, we are doing in my courses in Denmark, we do sing circles. I've done that for many years, 20 years or more, when we sit and sing together and with closed eyes. And a lot of people are experiencing with the sound that all these sounds together have colors. And then you paint it afterwards, and it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. So to communicate in that level is fantastic, I think.
It is.
With each other.
It is.
And it's really, it's also so healing and releases a lot. In the first years I was doing these workshops, I did it for a very long time. I could sit with people almost 40 minutes, half an hour, 40 minutes. And after that, people came to me and say, well, I see green all over. The whole weekend I've just seen a green light. So they open up the eye chakra, I think, and that was too much. So I took small doses then afterwards, but still people are experiencing a lot of beautiful lights and colors. So I'm sure that that color and sound are very close together, linked very close.
They are.
Together.
They're like different octaves, you know, in music.
Mm-hmm. Really?
You have octaves that are like very low, that are like I would say a vibration, like, you know, if you had a vibration in a bed, and that's an octave, and then sound is an octave, and then color is an octave, and then there's higher octaves that I believe come through when healers work on people. You know, the actual energy coming through their hands is gigahertz energy, but nonetheless, it's an octave. So if you combine all of these, if you design a bed where there's vibration and sound and light and color, and then also have the higher vibrations come in, I think you could balance all of the chakras at once very quickly.
I think so too, yes. Right.
Yeah. The more octaves you use, the more...
Yeah.
You know, the more powerful the alignment would be.
Yeah. Myself, I do also, with my students, I give some healing sounds. I give some improvisations when I sing intuitively to them. And that's also very, very, I get very humble when I do that. That's beautiful because you are not, there's no light,
coming
there's no manuscript,
you, right.
There's no notes. You just let it free in and sing from the heart, and that's also an adventure, I think.
Yeah, that's actually very good for healing. That kind of channeling of sound
channeling
energy for healing for the particular person. It is.
Yeah.
It's very good.
And it's both good to receive it from the outside from somebody, but it's also good that you can do it yourself. It's both ways.
Right.
And you could do it when you are alone at home. You can sit and just hum and try to get your body in vibration and see how it is. And it doesn't matter how it sounds. I mean, it's not the professional. It's not with these eyes. It's just the authentic, more biological, how the sounds are coming up. And you can feel the sounds in your body and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to tell people I really enjoyed The Power of the Voice, and Elizabeth will give you her contact information again, and I'm sure you can order the book on her website. Would you like to give your contact information once again, please?
Yes. The website is www.vocsmondo.dk. That's
okay.
VoxMondo.dk.
And
at the time, you can't order the book from my website. Not now, but you can order it from John Hunt Publishing in UK. At it's called Any Books, and that's John Hunt Publishing. And I will soon put it on my own website, but it's will be some time. not still.
And that's spelled that's spelled A-Y-N-I Books. I guess I could Google that, right? Or just Google
The
Power of
the Voice. Under John Hunt Publishing, or you can just Google. You can just go on John Hunt Publishing and say write The Power of the Voice. It comes up immediately, and it's in the front pages already.
Well, great.
Because it's
thank you so much.
On the 13th.
Okay, great.
Please. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me, Elizabeth. It was great talking with you. I really enjoyed your book. And if you're ever in Atlanta, give me a call. And perhaps we can sponsor you here at the center. We can put about 50 people in the front room. So if you need a place to present, I'd be happy to give that to you.
Oh, it would be a joy. I would be very pleased.
Yeah.
So also, thank you very much to you for giving me this possibility. I'm very happy.
Sure.
Very happy to speak to you, and it was very nice. So
great.
I look forward maybe seeing you.
That would be great.
Okay.
Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Next week on Temple of Health Radio Show, we have Dr. Friedman Schaub, I think that's right, MD, PhD, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, A Breakthrough Process for Healing and Empowerment with Your Subconscious Mind. I think this is actually a very important part of healing, is accessing things in your subconscious. And then on the 24th, we have Christine Day, Palladium Principles for Living, A Guide to Accessing Dimensional Energies, Communicating with the Palladians, and Navigating These Changing Times. And then on the 31st, Julia Schulpik, Honest Medicine, Effective, Time-Tested, Inexpensive Treatments for Life-Threatening Diseases. And on Thursday, the 15th of August, my astrologer, Del Dorenbach, is presenting Mercury Retrograde at the Dunwoodie Center at 7:15. Del's a great speaker, a wonderful person, a friend of mine for life. And please come hear her talk about Mercury Retrograde. Thank you very much for joining us. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Join us next week.